and action. Whoa.
That's how the show begins. This day, bro. Revolving. Dave. Harold.
All
right, hello. HD cuts, everybody.
Testing, testing, 1, 2. HD cuts, follow me. You know it. I'm only following.
My friend.
I'm only following in the footsteps of Mr. Corey Castle.
So, well, you were doing a podcast before you ever even knew who I was.
You're right.
You're not really following any footsteps.
Mine was like a generic version because it didn't have all the gadgets and gadgets that yours does. So I'm only I could only learn, you know. But did you ever? You probably never even checked that one of mine. They were like,
I never got around to checking out. But kind of give me. I don't care about what the listeners are caring about. I only care about what I want to know. What I want to know is give me like a short description of what kind of show you were running.
All right. So when I first started, it was just basically like, I called it a looking glass. It's HD cuts, a looking glass. And I would just share average day life things that happen that go on that you want to talk about, things that make you... you know, curl up or shiver or, you know, make you a little on the edge or a little feel a little awkward or some things like some shock value sometimes. And what I would do that, and then I would do like a recap in the middle, and then I would do like a called a trivia boom. Like I would like do like 3 songs on there, and then you could get like the artist or the song, right?
Like whatever the main theme in those 3 songs
all
was.
For trivia, you know, all 3 of them. And if you get it, like I did a little thing, which I don't know if I'm going to do this on this new new episode, like season 2, because I guess I just ended it with the 7 episodes or 8 episodes, whatever it was, as season 1. And then this is going to be season 2 when I do this, which is
You're gonna be rolling in it, buddy. You're gonna be rolling.
I'll explain that one, right? Like you said, though, it's good. It's good for me because I thought about what you said when we were at work or whatever, doing security and that, and the whole thing about like you know my gambling and how like I need another hobby and like you know this would be something to fill that void, maybe. So
yeah, you got to be creative and you got to be productive. So why not combine those things together? And have your creativity and your productivity combined. Like you're already cutting hair. Like make content out of it.
That's art. Like, yeah, exactly.
Like that's your art. Like you're also in the art of like having conversations with people and like you kind of understand like conversing with people more and more from having them sitting in your chair and then sharing like their intimate life details with you.
Absolutely. And a lot of the times, like a conversation is like a big part of doing it because you might even not be the best barber, but just because that guy likes to come talk to you and, you know, he can vent to you and you guys have a good conversation, make him laugh, that could keep a customer just because of that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I would like to do on this, the second season or whatever. Just have like, you know, we talked about it before, I think briefly. Just have like my customer, you know, and a guest, and you know, just chop it up, man. Shoot the shit. Talk about that that good old life. But
so what is the what like when you were recording episode or season 1 of Looking Glass? What did you ever share anything that was like ultimate intimate detail shared that you wouldn't that you never said publicly? Or, like, to anybody else before ever?
Oh, yeah. So, I was, like, I'm kind of big on, like, you know, I like to talk about, like, our history of religion and, like, you know, conspiracy theories and, like, stuff like that. So, it was around COVID. That's why, like, that's what got me into it because I was, like, you know, in my house every day, everybody was going out of their mind. So, I'm, like, you know, let me start this podcast so I can occupy my time. And then, so I would talk about... just the whole COVID thing and like, you know, I believe that it was man-made. It didn't come from a bat in China. Like I believe it was man-made in a lab. I've heard and researched it, but it's all YouTube and online, so you never know what's really facts or not. But, you know, they would say, you know, that they started to put it in animals first. Like, it couldn't go into human DNA. And then eventually, the scientists in the lab made it so it could go into our DNA, the COVID. And it's for, if you notice, and not only that, I'm going to tell you something else about that whole situation, but not only that, but it was population control. It took out most of the older, the senior citizens collecting Social Security and all that, and it took out a lot of minority. And I feel like that it was for population control. They have to do stuff like that.
You know what? Answer me this. Right. If it took out a lot of people, how come there's still so much traffic?
I don't know.
There's still so much traffic.
And it's just like, you know, it was for inflation, I guess, to give us money and then just take more and more away.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, we're going to give everybody $1,200. Everyone's going to be $1,200 richer. That money's going to go right back to us. And then we're going to ramp the prices up on everything.
Ramp the prices up, yeah. And it was like, it had its ups and downs. It was good for me because, you know, our shop opened up a little earlier than other businesses. So, you know, we bumped the price up from 25 haircut to 40. So that was a crazy, like, you know, bump up, and it was pretty good money because the barbershops were flooded after COVID. No one to get a haircut. Everybody was coming in like freaking Tom Hanks on on the Raft or whatever movie that is.
Castaway or like Castaway. Robin Williams in Jumanji when he comes out of the board.
Yeah. Oh fuck.
I never got a haircut through COVID. I have to tell you. I didn't support your business.
Yeah, I was doing it a little bit, but my son's mother at the time, she didn't like the fact that I was having people in the house, and I didn't want my son to get. He was like 1 or 2 at the time, so I didn't really cut too much hair, but I had to do something. You know what I'm saying? And because, you know, when you're a barber, you mostly work off the books unless you do a percentage. So it's not like we have like sick pay or something like that, and you know. Eventually, people got the unemployment, but there was a lot of people that weren't getting unemployment that were on
the front line.
That whole thing was just crazy. And for humanity's sake, I hope no more pandemics come. But I heard like stories about like other viruses like melting out of the ice in Antarctica and shit, and just a bunch. Oh, what was it? What is it called? I hate when I can't think.
I think I know what you're talking about.
No. It's somewhere else, like Florida or something, or somewhere it's happened. China or something. I don't know where. It's ammonia. They're getting ammonia or something like that. Is that the word?
Pneumonia.
Ammonia. Yeah, like ammonia.
Ammonia is like a is like a stuff they rub on stuff.
Oh, like ammonia. Yeah, it sounds like
pneumonia is the sickness that you get.
That was a good try for me. It's something like that, though. It sounds like ammonia, but it's not ammonia. So
it's Jamonia.
Jamonia.
Michael Jackson disease. Jamonia.
So what I really want to talk about, bro, is dysfunctional families. And I was like,
we jump right into that.
I've been a little stressed out because my sisters, bro, I really dislike my sisters. And even other family, like, I'm at the point where I was talking about this with my friend, like, the whole forgiveness and, like, trust thing. Like, I'm not forgiving either 2 or 3 of my sisters. Like, the one, she's cool. She's, like, the good sister. She never did anything. She got married. She had 3 kids. She got a nice house, you know, all that. My other sisters, total different, like, night and day. And they're just, like, if I look out for you and I give to you and you ask me, you're my sister, my family, period, my general, my close family, if you ask me for something and I have it, I'm going to say yes. I've never said no, you know what I'm saying? And it's just not, I don't get the same energy back. I don't get that same, you know, love, that family love that you're supposed to do. And I'm sick of it. I block both of my sisters. I'm like, you know what? Well, I don't need you guys in my life. Because you guys aren't in the community.
Dave, what was the example, though? Like, what was the example that showed you that that's what it's like? That wouldn't have showed that example to them, too.
Oh, so the example is, right, Both of my one sister was struggling a little bit. I think it was.
No. I don't mean the example. I mean like.
Example.
I don't mean like an example that way. I mean like, what was the role model that you had that taught you? That taught you that if I got something, you got it too. Like, what was the?
No, I didn't have none.
No inspiration. That's what I meant. The example, like their model for it.
Yeah. Any like not even family, just anything that would like teach me that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say. I really don't even know, honestly, because like everyone in my life really is like. Besides now till today, like now that I have my girlfriend and her family, like I'm probably gonna end up loving her family more than I love my own family. Besides my mother. My mother now, she's my heart. I can't say nothing bad about my mother. But besides when she was an addict, she used up until I was like 17, 18, and like I was in and out of juvenile detention centers and I got into like gangs and stuff and when I was like 17, I went to Janesburg. It's like a juvenile prison for juveniles. And I got out of there and I went to, they gave me a program. It's like a halfway back program. I was there for 3 months and 22 days. At that point, I wanted nothing to do with my mother. I disowned her because she would smoke crack. She would be in shelters, she'd be here, everywhere. My dad already left when I was two. And my sisters, you know, I had to grow up watching my sisters be mistreated. My sister had a kid when she was 16 by a dude that was 37. Like, this rape, you know what I'm saying? Like, this just, and, you know, not that, no, I'm not going to talk about that. But it was all a certain kind of dude that, like, didn't make me feel any type of way. But it, like, as far as being prejudiced, because they were all black men. Not that. That matters, you know what I'm saying? But it's just fact of growing up seeing that all these black men with no guidance to say, oh, this and that. I did have a little hatred towards those men. But then, like, as I grew up, I knew that didn't matter. And it was just like, I didn't understand that. So then I went to, go ahead. You want to go?
I was just saying, like, you had the example all around you, surrounding you, and like not really pointing you in the direction, but it was teaching you what not to be like. Right. They don't share your perspective. Like, they're the ones on their end. Men are misusing them, mistreating them. And you belong in that class in their subconscious mind. They don't intentionally think that. I don't think that they're intentionally manipulative, but sometimes they're just a product of their environment. Right. So I'm saying, like, you can forgive them without telling you forgive them, without going like, oh, we've got to do this whole thing, we can have a relationship again. You can continue to live your own life, love them and forgive them, and show them the compassion that you'd want to feel for your own self from there.
So let me just try to finish this little story is close. I'm trying to compact it as much as I can in a little ball for you. So then you could tell me your words of wisdom and knowledge. And then maybe, like, I could maybe forgive my sisters one day, but I'm probably not gonna. So I didn't care about that. I knew it was men taking advantage of them, but just seeing that growing up. And then, you know, my sister started. So I was living with my sister. She had to be an adult. My sister Liz, like, when she was 16, she had to get her own place. Like, my mom wasn't around. My mom was in and out. She would get clean, then she would relapse. That's why I straight disowned her. At one point, I'm like, I don't want nothing to do. She don't come to see me. Like, it was one time I remember we were in a shelter, and she came home. She couldn't get high, and she came home when she was high, and we had to get kicked out of the shelter. And that was, like, the 20th trillion time that we got evicted out of somewhere, you know? So it's like, fuck. So at that point, I was doing whatever I wanted. I lived with my sister. She smoked marijuana with me when I was, like, 10, 11. And from there, I'm not saying it's a gateway drug, but it kind of is. Like, but some people just smoke weed and they're happy with that. I guess it was more my lifestyle. So I lived in a poverty-stricken neighborhood. It was New Brunswick. Well, I grew up in New Brunswick, and I moved back and forth. I was all over like that area in Jersey, like Plainfield, New Brunswick. And, you know, it had its bad parts. It had its good parts. But, like, they were on Remsen Ave, so... In Brunswick, like, Remsen Ave goes all the way down, like, Livingston's parallel, and then there's projects at the end of Remsen. So, like, I'm like 9 years old, like, walking down there, chilling in projects. So That just like that whole lifestyle, I started to like it because I started selling weed when I was really young. My sister's boyfriend, his name was Coco T, Jamaican dude. He would always smoke spliffs with the blend in it, right? And it would give you a different high. I kind of didn't like it at first, but I was already smoking with regular weed with my sister, that he would do that. So a lot of smoking weed, but besides that, so we'll fast forward a little bit. That just fucked me. I was already fucked from the beginning when all that shit happened to me. And I was literally like 13, 14 when I got to middle school. So my mother, which this is kind of weird, but she breastfed me till I was like 18 months. So that's a little weird, but whatever. And then on top of that, I was like, she let me sleep in her bed. Like, she babied me when I was real little, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Was she doing drugs while she was breastfeeding you?
I don't think so. I don't know if it was after, before. Like, I could have been a crack baby before I know. I'm sure she didn't tell me, like, yeah, you're a crack baby, son. But I mean,
you might be.
Might be. You never know.
Yeah. It just runs through your system, you know?
Yeah, I'm a little shot out.
Give it a crack.
Yeah. So then, like, she babied me, whatever. I was a straight mom's boy from all the elementary school. I would cry for her to come get me. I'd be in the guidance counselor all the time. And then when I hit fifth grade, because, like, I started to, like, rebel, I guess, and, like, I just switched. I was, like, now I'm just, like, trying to be the class clown, the funny guy, and I'm just getting in trouble. So, like, I'm getting these dumb charges when I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, going in the bathroom, like, oh. Run your pockets, bro. Give me all your shit. Fucking around. Not taking anything, but the kids going to the principal office and telling them, and then I get theft by extortion. Or one day I'm fucking walking. This is all my juvenile record, too. It's like, this is ridiculous. I didn't even really do anything. I did, but I didn't. So I'm walking my sister to, like, wherever, the fucking, her friend's house at night. You know what I'm saying? My mom wasn't around. It was mostly, that's why I'm closest, I think, with my sister Rachel, because it was me and her a lot. Like, my two older sisters were out doing them, probably tricking around, who knows? No, not tricking around. I like to say that. I love my sisters, man, but they're just fucked up individuals. But anyway, so, boom. I walked her home, and then the next day, I forgot to take the knife out of my pocket. So I went to school with that jacket on, not knowing. I put my jacket in the locker, just my luck. I've had the worst luck. I swear I was born on Friday the 13th, and, like, they misplaced me, and then I don't know. But so that day, they just thought that because I used to take the staple and shoot it around. So the teacher found me that I had the staple, and I put the staple. She thought it was in my locker. So she goes to check my locker for the staple that I used to shoot at people. You know, the staples come out, boom, 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 fucking around. I was already in behavior disorderment classes, sped life. I don't know if, like, you know, sped classes.
Dude, I'm sped life myself, man.
Yeah, we're all sped, you know, small bus right in front of your house, making wait 25 minutes for you. But anyways.
Yeah, I didn't take the small bus, but I know sped life.
We were a bad kid. I was a bad kid, man. But I don't know where I was at with that. But so.
Just you were saying. You were saying sped life before
that. Classes. It was kind of dope, though, because it was great. It wasn't good for me. How are you going to put a bunch of kids that are bad in the same class and think, like, they'll be better? You should have been putting one kid in each class. Then with all
you
the
know,
good kids.
You know what I liked about it was that it wasn't as big a classrooms, right? So there would be – like, even when there was bad kids in my class, like, they weren't just in there because they were sped kids. They were interested in us learning together. Like, when I would be like the only non, like, because there's challenged and then there's, like, not as much challenged, right? Yeah. So I would be helping everybody just as, like, any other bad kid, and it kind of builds, like, an idea of, like, let's grow together, like, a rising tide.
Exactly. I feel like they should have segregated them more instead of putting them all in one class. Like, I was with a bunch of bad kids, and then you got the eight walking you around, and then, like, it's just like you don't get no work, basically one sheet of work a day, and then you get, like, a point system. Like, if you had 80 points at the end of the week, you got McDonald's and pizza for Friday, like, to make us want to be good. But we're still loose. Like, I'm sleeping. I just like to sleep. Like, but anyways. So I got them charged.
Schools for suckers, anyway.
The schools for suckers, man. Dropouts are where it's at. Just get your GED. It's good enough diploma, bro. That's what I got. But hey, So, you know, that whole thing, oh, you know, school was fucked up. Everything was fucked up. I was hanging out with like 19, 21 year olds. I lost my virginity when I was probably 12 years old to a girl that was 19. So, like, that's a little weird, bro.
And, cancel that girl. Cancel her.
Cancel her. Cancel her. She was like,
Go seek her out and cancel her. She was 19 having sex with a 12-year-old. That's gross.
Yeah, like, you might as well just... And then she messed with me and my friend, George Seminary, bro. Little dude, man. He was a cool little dude, but...
All right. Pitchfork mob with the torches. Find that lady.
Crazy. And I thought I was the man, you know? Like, because I was way older than my mentality. You know what I'm saying? My mentality was way older. And I started selling weed, and then I started getting in trouble with the law from the charges in high school, and then it was over from there. I went to juvenile my first time when I was 14, and then all that happened. So let's fast forward now to when I got out of, like, within and out of jail, basically. Horrible life, you know what I'm saying? I was good at sports, but I didn't have no one to tell me, like, yo, fucking play basketball and football because you're good at that. Don't smoke weed, you're gonna ruin your fucking life. Like, I just wish I had
something. But even if somebody was there to tell you, you weren't ready to hear it.
Yeah, I might.
Maybe somebody was there to tell you. Maybe somebody did tell you, and it just went right over your head because you're the one who knows better for yourself in your own head. Like, you're just like, yeah, I just am on this path. So yeah, when it comes to like, you're saying luck, and you're saying you've got the worst luck, and like for you, bad luck is really like. Your story, for the most part, like what has painted the picture of your life is bad luck.
Yeah, basically. So, and it's like, you know, I felt like that for a while. Like, when I would sit in jail for like a couple months or whatever, a year, I would always think, like, everywhere I go, trouble follows me. Like, I don't understand. Like, is it me? Is it like, and then, like, you know, once I got, so when I was in that program, it was in Marlboro, New Jersey, at the, it's a sane asylum, it's an old sane asylum, but they turned into a rehab for adults. And
what was it? You said Marlboro, New Jersey?
Marlboro, New Jersey.
Like cigarettes?
Oh, yeah, like Marlboro cigarettes, yeah. Marlboro, New Jersey. I was in there, I remember, I had fun too. Like, I think that was another thing that was fucked up, is I started to have fun in jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, playing spades, and I don't gotta go to school, and I can just sit here and fuck around and try to fight kids and do dumb shit. Like, so boom, I get out of the so my mom starts coming to see me. She's clean again.
Oh, son, I'm gonna do good this time. I promise I'm gonna stay clean.
So, you know.
Your mom sounds like Michael Jackson.
That was a horrible impression. I feel like, at least I don't have, like, one of the same voices for every impression. You know that? Some people do that?
Yeah.
It's like, they can be talking.
Continue with your Michael Jackson mom impression.
They can
your mom was there. She was there to help you, and she was going to be there for you this time.
Yeah, she's like, you know, you've been growing up in Jersey, and you've been getting in trouble and out of jail. I love you. Come out here and live with me. And I'm like, Mom, I'm not living in PA. It's my senior year. Like, I don't want to graduate with my sped life kids, my BD class. They call this Bobo Nation, and that pissed me off. But I was like, you were, you said, like, you, like, looked after, like, some of the special needs or whatever. I was like that, too. I hated bullies. Like, I didn't want no bully. And right. I liked it to, like, do dumb stuff because I thought it was funny. Like, that was, like, my masks because, like, I was going through so much fucking shit as a kid. Like,
you were saying you were a class clown, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's a balance. It's a balancing act.
Yeah, it's like one thing, you go to that. And then, so, I came out here. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I was on probation when I turned 18 in the program. So I came out here. I'm an adult now on probation. I got a year probation now so I could walk it off. I actually did walk it off. I got a job and everything, but I was still, Jersey was still just pulling me back every time. So, like, I had a job in Newtown at a jewelry store. I think it's Burn and Ernie or something. Burn, I forget the name of it. But it's a nice jewelry store. Like, I would sit at the door, and I have to open the door for people to come in. So, like, that was a problem.
Solid gold rubber duckies at Burn and Ernie's jewelry store.
Burn and Ernie, yeah. So, I got a little side story about that fucking, I'm not going to say it right now because I'll get caught on track, but about that store.
We'll put a pin in it.
So I was basically trying to work, but I was still trying to party. So I was driving back and forth to Jersey. Eventually I got fired from the job because I was falling asleep at the door from partying all night and trying to drive back with, like, probably stole my mom's car or something so I could drive to Jersey and hang out with my friends or whatever girl. And then, so I could drive to the place, the jewelry store, and I fell asleep one day at the door. I was watching the door, and they fired me, like, I think, like, the day after that. But I already knew because I was going to sleep. Like, the one lady said, dude, I don't think you're going to be coming back tomorrow. So she said, you got to sign out. So I'm going to sign out. And this is like, I didn't even think about it. I didn't have to say, like, no, that's wrong. I was signing out, and they left a pair of diamond earrings on the countertop. So me, with my, like, criminal mind, like, I'm like, oh, shit. I knocked it off with my elbow as I'm signing the paper. I knocked the earrings off with my elbow, and I went down. I took the earrings, and I put them in my sock. Real smooth. Never got caught. I went in the car. I looked at the earrings. It was a $6,000 pair of earrings. I'm like, oh, shit. That's a nice little come-up. I felt bad, but I never got caught for it. I got fired, whatever. I was sick. I called the guy back. Look, I'm sorry. You didn't have a chance. That was, like, my first real decent job. Besides at, like, Quiznos when I was, like, I don't know. So, I got off probation. That's the first. I think that's – no, that's the second. This recently after COVID was the second time I got off probation. But I got off probation for the first time at 18. And I just couldn't leave the streets, bro. I couldn't leave my little gang that I thought were my best buddies, and they were all my friends, and I grew up with them. And, like, they got my back. And, you know, it's weird because it kind of, like, I don't know what changed in me. I think it's because I was with them kids all the time doing the same dumb shit they were doing. But I was like, fuck it, why not? Let me be in a fucking gang with them. And it was like, I was never into that following shit. Like, I always said to myself growing up, like, I'll never be in a gang. That shit is corny. You're just following the next man, trying to get his thing or his, you know what I'm saying, doing this, taking orders from somebody else. So, I didn't like any of that shit. But I kept going in and out of jail, selling drugs. Eventually, I got my first big case out here. I think I was doing all right, though. I had all my money saved up. I had, like, $15,000, $16,000 saved up. I was going to Levittown Beauty Academy, and I just enrolled to Bucks County Community College for business administration. And I actually got in. I found out after the fact. I never got to start there. But so a situation happened with – I was with this kid's baby mom. And actually, I'm going to say his name. It's this kid, Nick Jones. He ended up ratting on me for whatever, you know.
Hey, man. I want to preface this real quick with, this is just a conversation between you and me. Nick Jones ain't gonna listen to this shit.
I'm not gonna mention his name. I shouldn't even give that energy.
It honestly takes like extra effort to listen to some conversation with somebody who, like, you lost contact with and don't really know, like, a conversation of theirs. It's almost like they don't got the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So this kid.
I don't fear saying anything about anybody, like, as if it's gonna come back to haunt me, because, like.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not gonna haunt me. It's already right. Over. It's like a long done thing. It was years ago, but, like, he did something he should have did. I won't speak on it, but I did something that I should have did too. But I had, like, whatever. I had a gun, basically. Long story short, and I got into a situation, and I ended up getting caught up for it because I still wanted to live in that shit. Right?
You really buried the lead on that one. You were like, details. Had a gun. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Yeah, I'm not gonna get too in depth in the thing. But
no, I know.
Long story short, I didn't get caught for it. Someone else put me on the paper to make it happen. But it was my fault. I'm taking full responsibility for it. But the only two times I've been in trouble in PA, two people told on me. Like, a CI set me up because I was getting perks for him. And I literally wasn't even selling drugs anymore. I was more so doing them a little bit more, which was bad. You know what I'm saying? And I got it from somebody else for him. But he set me up. He's a CI. So... you know, at that point, with all the charges, I was in jail for a whole year fighting the gun case. And, like, I was going through a lot of mental health shit. So this is something big that I want to, like, because, you know, maybe your podcast does, maybe you are famous one day. Maybe people will look back and be like, that's true. But that fucking jail, Bucks County, is fucked up because I had Like, I always had a little bit of ADHD growing up, I think, but I was never on medicine. But when I got put in that jail, the COs in there, like, I've been in a lot of jails, bro. I've been in Middlesex County, Essex County, Mercer County, the workhouse. And then I came out here and started doing my fucking tours out here. But Bucks County, the COs in there, they don't like me for some reason. I guess it's because, like, I don't, like, kiss their ass or, like, and I didn't know. This is my first, like, big, this isn't a county, it's a county bid, but it's in a new place. I don't know anybody. I'm facing something serious. I got, like, 9 charges. They had my little brother, because I was living with my little brother at the time, and he told me, he comes home, and he's like, bro, they got your face on the fucking, at the police court for most wanted. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I knew what could have happened, but I didn't know it was that deep. Like, it really wasn't. Like, I didn't even do anything really that bad. But they didn't have no, but they didn't catch me with no weapon. Like, they called me 30 days later because this is what my dumb mind tells me. This is how sick I am sometimes up here in my mind, is that I was going to Levittown Media Academy during the day. And when all that stuff happened, like, the person told them, I live in Oak Tree, I'm here, I carry a handgun, all this stuff. And some of it wasn't, it was a fathom of the truth. It wasn't even all the truth. So me and my dumb, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back to Levittown Beauty Academy, but I'm going to go at night, even though the cops already came there, because the girl called me one day. She's like, yeah, there was just like 20 cops here looking for you. I'm like, wow. So now I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm already on the run again. Like, I literally was only off probation for like 5 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, what am I doing, bro? So I'm just really going through it at this point. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to let them take away my education. I'm going to go at night. And I was like, what, was I stupid? Like, they just came in, they called me as soon as I got there. I'm thinking I'm good. They just came and got me. But I couldn't run from it. I don't like running from that kind of stuff. Like, a lot of people do that. Like, I never absconded or ran because, like, I want to get it taken care of. Like, I did something, I'll man up, admit I did it, you know what I'm saying, if I get caught. And I was just a stupid criminal. I got caught a lot, I'm not going to lie. But I feel like I never did nothing too crazy. I mean, I can't say that because I did a lot of crazy stuff that I never got caught for. So who knows, like, but, so all that, I got 5 years probation for that one big charge, and it just turned into a nightmare. The whole time I was in that jail out here, and I just couldn't give up. I couldn't learn my lesson. Like, I don't know how old I had to be before I learned my lesson. It's literally recently. So, you know, I ended up going downstate in Jersey to Bordentown, and, like, all this, I was just doing tours everywhere, bro. And it just, like, I was miserable. I was in hell. Jail's hell. I was getting, every time I went to Bucks County, I would get picked on by the COs, harassed. Like, I put in grievances after grievances, bro. They put me in a chair. They had me in a turtle suit, butt naked, in a cell on a cute watch with all the touchers and rapists and PC dudes watching me from the door while I'm naked because they said I was going to commit suicide. I never said that. I would never say that. I don't believe in that. I mean, you're going to hell if you commit suicide. So I don't believe in that. I would never do that. I think that's a weak person that commits suicide. Not against anybody that has done that or has a family member. I know people go through shit. It might be worse than what I ever went through, so they didn't want to live no more. I get that. So I'm not saying anything bad about that, but I would never do that because that's what I don't believe in. I never said that to the CEO. He lied on me. They put me in a turtle suit, butt naked, no mask.
What's a turtle suit?
A turtle suit. It's like a suicide suit. So it's literally this uncomfortable-ass green blanket thing. It's all, it's nasty, like, and they got all the Velcro on it. So you can't sleep with it. You're butt naked. It just makes you more uncomfortable so you don't hang yourself.
So you're in a turtle suit, but you're naked? I don't get
it. Butt naked, yeah. They made me take off all my stuff. And I didn't want to give it to them. I'm like, no, I'm not taking off my jumper, bro. I didn't fucking do nothing. The whole reason why I got in there, bro, it was my first bid, the gun charge or whatever. And I woke up one morning, I'm like, damn, I'm asking people around, like, yo, how do I get to talk to the PD? How do I do this? They're like, oh, you got to go up to the officer and ask him for a green slip so you can write it. So I go up to the officer, I'm like, excuse me, sir, can I have two green slips? He's like, get the fuck away from my podium. I'm like, what? I'm like, fuck you. I'm a man, bro. You're not going to disrespect me because I got in a situation you don't know about. You're going to tell me, get the fuck away from my podium. I just woke up, and I'm always like, was fight or flight or freeze. I'm always like, fight. Like, I hate authority. I've always hated authority. I got to, like, I have a problem with that kind of shit. So I was like, fuck you, blah, blah, I'll fight you, blah. He didn't fucking try to fight me. He calls the sergeant, and they get me send over to G Block, the weird block, with all the people that like PC and rape kids and like do all this like, you know, disgusting stuff that I think is the scum of humanity. But so basically they moved me to that block, and then like a couple days later, that's when the CEO bothered me because I was still snapping. I'm like, why are you guys locking me in the cell? I didn't do nothing. I'm like, I asked him for a green slip. He's the one that disrespected me. I'm not going to let him talk to me like that. I didn't do nothing wrong. I was very polite, actually. Now you got me locked in a cell. So I started to lose my mind slowly. And that's when it all started. I started, like, all this mental health shit that I got wrong with me. So I, like, was in there for 30 days, bro. What they would do, they would literally come get me. They'd be like, yo, bro, put your fucking smock on or whatever, your jumper. Put a jumper on, and then they would take me to go see like a psychiatrist to talk to him about meds and how I'm feeling. I'm like, I'm not feeling all right. And at that point, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was already in there for 4 days locked in the fucking room, butt-ass naked. Like, I was probably in there for more days, but, you know, the suicide watch started a couple days after I was locked in the cell. So I just didn't understand what was going on. I never dealt with this. And, like, Jersey, the CEOs don't fuck with you like that. They stay to themselves. And I honestly, I think because this jail is so soft the way it is, the way they run it. Like, Jersey jail, it's a lot of gang members. Like, Jersey's more gang members, I feel like. And PA has gang members, too, but it's more, like, Muslims, like, in Philly and people like that. It's not too many, like, and there's a lot of biker gangs, too, out in Philly. Like, more biker gangs. But anyways, so I'm going to try to wrap this up. So all the mental health stuff, like, I was in there for 30 days, bro. They would come get me, maybe get dressed, go walk, and then they would take my jumper back. Try to take my jumper back. I'm like, bro, I'm not giving you my jumper. I'm freezing, bro. I have no mat, no sheet, no nothing. I'm begging people to fucking give me a sheet under the door. People that I don't want watching me, like gay dudes would be at my door. I'm not going to play against some gay dudes, but I don't want anybody watching me naked, bro. I got shit and piss. It was just horrible, bro. So after all that, I finally, bro, after, like, people trying to talk to me, like, bro, you got to calm down. You're never going to get out of there. They're never going to let you out of there. And I'm like, bro, it was so fucked up. So I remember one day I woke up, and they were like, yo, get dressed. You're going somewhere. It's an inertial sign. I'm like, bro, I'm not going nowhere, man. They're like, all right, just get dressed. So I'm happy as hell to put the jumper on. I'm like, this jumper feels better than any clothing has felt in my life, and it's a fucking jail jumper because it just made me, I was freezing, bro, from being in there. So fucking they put me in they're telling me I'm going to go to the nurse. They put me out. I'm sitting in the middle of the day room where everybody's staring at me and shit. I'm skinny as hell. I just lost probably 20, 30 pounds and fucking I'm skinny as shit. And they don't bring me to the nurse. They put me in a corner cell, a worse cell with like a wood, like a metal bowl. And not like it's because there's like different toilets or whatever. They got the sink connected to them. Fucking retarded. So they put me, they don't take me, they put me in here. They try to get my jumper again. At this point, I'm losing them. I'm not giving you my fucking clothes again, bro. I'm not doing this. Like, why are you guys doing this to me? I couldn't understand why this was happening to me. I'm like, what did I do so wrong for this to happen to me? I did have a little bit of a hot mouth sometimes and like a little like short temper, but I was really a respectful, loving dude. Like, if you got to know me, I just didn't, like, I didn't act kindly to, like, disrespect and stuff like that. So, I'm in that cell, bro, and I just lost it, bro. I just kept going crazy, bro. I'm biting on myself. Like, I literally was starting to go crazy. So, I'm trying to get out of the cell, like, banging on the door. I finally, was so overwhelmed and tired that I passed out. It's probably the first time I slept in, like, 5, 6 days. And because I was so cold, I couldn't sleep, bro. And they come, and it was the morning. I remember I wake up after sleep, and I'm not good in my sleep, but I was still mad. And the lady, like, her name was Miss Woods. She was such a bitch, bro. She threw my own tray in there, and I just lost. I'm like, you fucking bitch. I'm grabbing the tray, and I'm smashing around. I'm, like, doing everything. I'm kicking it. Sitting, I'm smashing the window, I'm spitting at the window, I'm just going crazy. Like, I lost my sanity for a second, bro. And then they called the CERT team. So the whole CERT team, and I don't know what's going on, I just hear them buzzing because, like, when you fight, a little alarm goes off or whatever. So all these COs come in black, you know, all CERT teamed up. It's like black, you know, with the things you ever seen on movies.
What's the word you're saying? CERT?
CERT team. It's like the SRT. Like, SRT, that's what they call it, the CERT team. It's like the people when there's like a a big fight, you know what I'm saying, or like a fucking, like any kind of riot or something, like they get the certain team with the shields and shit. It's all, they're all like padded up so they can't get stabbed or nothing like that. And
does it, could it stand for like riot team, like the RT? I don't know what the S is. Security riot team?
Security riot team, yeah, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Just that was me. That was guessing right off the top of my head. I have no idea.
Yeah, security. I'm pretty sure security riot team. Security. I don't know. I just always called them the CERT team. I didn't like them, so I didn't really try to find out what it stands for. But so they CERT teamed up, and they the SRTs or whatever you want to call them. They come to the door and they're like, bro, come fucking cuff up. And I'm like, what the fuck you gonna cuff up for? You fuck out of me, fuck alone, bro. I'm still snapping. And they were like, we're going to fucking mace you, bro. We're going to mace you. Come to the fucking door and cuff up. So I wasn't going in. I'm like, all right, come the fuck in. I don't give a fuck. I'm going crazy. Like, I'm trying to – I end up getting a sheet somehow under the door, so I'm trying to wrap the sheet up. And like, I'm like, all right, come the fuck in. Let's go. And they rush in there, and I probably would have tried to fight them, but the dude – there was this dude, Nottingham, and I remember he was a sergeant. He was real by the books, but like – he gave me my first, like, when I first came into the jail, he gave me a job, like, a paying job. So, I, like, he's, like, the only CEO that was nice to me in there, you know what I'm saying? So, when he came in, I heard his voice. I was already wrestling around with them. And he's like, bro, chill the fuck out. It's Nottingham, bro. Just cuff up. And he just cuffed me up, bro. And he put me in a chair. They put me in this little chair. It's this little black chair, bro. It has no ass with it. It just comes down like this, and it's up like this, and they tie you. They, like, tie your arms down, and they tie your legs down, right? So now I'm butt-ass naked in this room. They're reeling me all the way down to the hole. I don't know where I'm going. They're videotaping me. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Am I going to die? Like, what is going on out here? Is this is there KKK out here? I'm going to be hanged in a fucking tree or something. I don't know what's going on. I'm not from Mount PA. I just moved out here recently. I just didn't know what's going on. So they brought me down to the cage, bro. I remember just, like, I got so exhausted from, like, my adrenaline rushing that I passed out in the chair, but I was literally trying to jump in the chair and get out. Like, I thought, so when they bring you into the hole, it's, like, all these doors like this, and then there's a cage where you go, if you fight, you go in the cage, and then they separate you or whatever. So they put me in this cage. So I'm like, bro, what is going on? Like, I'm already fucking losing my mind for 30 days with no, like, food. I wasn't eating good. I was throwing around. Like, I didn't want, I was just, like, lost my mind. So I'm sitting in the cage. And I literally thought they were going to hang me, or I was going to die, or they were going to electrocute me or something. In my mind, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, why is there this cage here? So I'm jumping around. Like, I got scars on my wrist from, like, the cuffs, like, just gutting into my jaws and, like, bleeding. Because I was trying to jump, and, like, I don't know, I was trying to get out. So that's when they put me, like, the next day. I passed out from, like, exhaustion, and then I wake up the next day in the cell, and they gave me my jumper, like, the next day, and my, like, socks and boxers and shit. And they moved me over. Instead of RHU, the hole, it's MHU. That's, like, the people that have mental health unit. So they started saying, like, they want to give me medication. I'm like, I don't really need medication. Like, I never took medication before. Like, why are you guys trying to put me on medication? And they're like, well, we think that your behavior is very erratic, and we were nervous for some of the CEOs and, like,
dude, you're acting like a wild animal. They're trying to.
I was at that point. I was lost. I just didn't know why this was happening. Like, I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Did you have a minute to calm down and be like, wow, man, I do need medication. I am a little crazy.
Yeah, but I didn't think that, like, I needed medication still, because I didn't, like, I felt like I was intimidated, and I was in a place, that a surrounding that I'd never been into. So I was like, a wolf, you know what I'm saying? A wolf.
Like, you were like a cornered animal.
Yeah, like, I was cornered. Yeah, I felt like I was, like, no one, like, fucked with me because I was from Jersey. I didn't know anybody, like, and it's just, like, I was all on my own. I had a big charge. So I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm like, damn, I'm going to go to jail for 5 or 6 years? Like, I was still young. I was probably, like, 19. So, I'm going to court too, as all this is happening, like, I was there for a year, so whatever, a couple of months, and my mental health wasn't good at that point, but I didn't think I needed meds, but I started to take them, but they were giving me all types of stuff, bro, like Depakote, lithium, like, cocktails, bro, I'm taking like 5 meds, and I'm like, I started to like just be a zombie asleep. It was good because I slept for like 5 days straight probably after that. Like,
catch up on rest that you.
Yeah, I just sleep, bro. But then like I just felt like who's that?
Yeah.
I just felt like the meds were fucking me up, bro. And I started to take them and get on them, and that like started like a big cycle of like not wanting to take meds, wanting to take meds, and then I went to court, and they were gonna at the preliminary hearing they were gonna drop one of the gun charges, but I didn't want to because like from people talking to me, they're like, if you waive your preliminary hearing, it's an automatic guilty plea or it's an early guilty plea, and you're not gonna be able to take the trial. So like I didn't let them. It was only so there was possession of the firearm and they carried a firearm without a license. So they were gonna drop one of them. I had like terroristic threats, assault with a deadly weapon, all this other stuff. And they were going to drop that. I'm like, well, why can't they drop both of them? Like, I'm still going to get the gun charge, even though they have no guns, but I'm going to get the gun charge. So I had Faravani as my lawyer. He's like a blonde lawyer. He's supposed to be the best lawyer. That's what I heard. And my mental health wasn't right, so I didn't say, all right, yeah, drop those.
He's blonde?
He's blind. Yeah, like blind.
Blind.
Yeah, he's a blind lawyer. His name's Faravani.
Daredevil?
Yeah. He walks around. You'll see him in the jail sometimes, walking around with a cane and shit. Like, he knows his way around too, though.
That's inspirational, man. That's really that. That's cool.
So I got him because they said he was really good, and it was because I was young and naive, and I was had melting pot. I didn't let them drop the charge there, so then I go back to the jail, and then when I talked to my lawyer, I didn't tell him the real story because I was like, all right, if I tell this guy what really happened. Is he gonna just tell? Like, am I gonna just all right? Yes, I'm guilty because if I did what they're saying I did, then what the hell? So I told him a whole lie, which I didn't know at that point. Like, you gotta be honest to your fucking lawyer, so he knows what the fuck is going on. And he can really tell you what right. You should do.
Want to defend somebody?
Yeah,
they want to defend you regardless. Of
so. Told him what I'm saying. I said, look, I wasn't there. I have no clue. I wasn't there. I was never there. Like, I even tried to grow my hair out so I look different and shit. So I'm in court, like, in a jumper, in a whole jumper, looking like a caveman. And the dude still pointed me out. And they didn't drop the charge. They actually added the charge of intimidation of a witness because I tried to reach out to one of the victims and, like, threatening them. Like, just dumb stuff, bro. So it just got worse. And then I sat there for almost a year. They kept giving me offers. I was like 2 to 4, this to that. And I wouldn't take them. And then eventually, the like third, fourth time, that's what PA does. So see, PA makes you sit. The Commonwealth, they make you sit and they make you weak until you want to fold and then cop out. That's why they have such a high conviction rate. It's like 98.9 or something in Bucks County. Jersey, if you go there, they give you your court date right away. They tell you, look, you could go downstate right now for this. Or you might be able to get probation, or you might be able to do this depending on charge. So they don't make you sit. They let you out faster. You know what I'm saying? Here in the Commonwealth, they make you sit till you're fucking like, damn, all right, I want to get the fuck home. So the last offer they gave me, and I was ready to fight it. My lawyer was ready too, but my lawyer wasn't telling me, like, yo, you're going to beat this. They don't have a gun. It's all hearsay. Like, you're going to beat this charge. Let's take it to trial. He was, like, acting like he wasn't sure either. So I'm like, man, fuck it. They gave me an offer to time serve and 5 years probation. So I'm like, fuck, man. And when I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to take it, man. I want to go the fuck home. And you're saying, I've been there for a year. I just went through hell. I'm like, yeah, I want to go home. Fuck it, I'll take it. Which I shouldn't have. I should have beat the charge. That was the worst. That was a mistake I made, too. Like, I could have beat that shit, bro. But I couldn't. I might not have, so you never know. So that's like what happened there. And then I came home and I did good for a little while. I really wanted to do good. Like, I told my mom all this stuff. Like, I'm sorry, my sister. I'm not gonna get in trouble no more. Like, I'm gonna live a good life. I'm not gang banging no more and that stuff. And they believe me. They helped me a little bit here and there. And then I went right back to the dumb shit. Started selling drugs again and like dibble and dabble with them too. And like the dibble and dabble started to get bad eventually. And it was still a progressive cycle. It was still a cycle that was going on. I went in and out of jail for probably till the end of COVID. I finally got off that 5-year probation. So that was in 2012. So from 2012 to 2021, the end of COVID, I was on probation because I kept getting violated, and they would keep reinstating it. The one time, so I violated it. I had another dumbass charge in Jersey for obtaining CDS by fraud. Because that was my thing. I sold 30s. Like, it was like I loved it, and I was kind of like, this girl got me addicted to them, and I had to connect for a very low price, so I would sell the 30s, and then when the inflation started happening with the pills, and they stopped making like OC80s, they.
Is it weird if I tell you I don't know what that even is?
Yeah, these now that's great. I wish I could say that, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's great, bro. Like.
Sometimes you talk to me about drugs and think I know what you're talking about, and I know. And you're like, come on, dude. Like you said to me, when you first met me, you thought I was like a meth head or something, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I'm like, because it's just like, not you were just like a little like, you know, uppity and hype, and like, I didn't know if like, lots of times, it's like that thing right now is like, it's not as worse as it's like the dope epidemic, but like the meth is everywhere. Everybody's doing that shit, and it's like, come on, man. But
I guess because I got spunk.
Yeah, you were always like walking around. And I'm like, he's going to the bathroom a little too much. And I'm just like that because I think like I have that kind of mentality. So I'm like, all right, he's working.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I know. But then when you.
I drink 2 gallons of water a day.
Then when I started to get to know you and you were like about the gym, you're a wrestler, and like you talk more, found out that we knew mutual people. And then it was like, it was different after that. Obviously, I knew you didn't. You know what I'm saying? And, you know.
So, inflation, pills went up.
Yeah, everything went up, you know what I'm saying? And I couldn't get them from my Connect number because she went from 7 to 10 to 15. I'm like, fuck that. And I'm just going to try to sell dope or coke or something because that's going on too high. But then I met this lady and she would get prescriptions from the doctor and she would fill them out. So I was getting in the 30s like that. And then that became my thing. Because she was doing it illegally. She would get the script pass from the doctor's office, but she knew the code from being a nurse for so long. So she would, like when you do a script, like you write everything in English, but then there's a code under the number. Like if you get 60 or 80 or 90, there's a code. It's in Arabic. And she would know them codes. So she started doing that for me. And I was loving it. I'm now making even more money from when I had the fucking the Connect. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like it really progressed really fast, and it stuck with me for so long, bro. Until recently when I got out of jail. This is probably the last time. But I had to I was on a tour, so I did 11 and a half. So when I was on that 5-year probation, my next charge was the CI case. That's the guy set me up. I stole a couple of 30s to him 22 times. I did 6 to 12 months in Bucks County. Then I was on probation for getting caught for obtaining CDS by fraud. That was another thing. So because I got caught busting the scripts.
What are the initials? TDS?
Obtaining CDS.
CDS?
CDS, yes. CDS. It's a controlled dangerous substance.
Okay.
So, it was obtaining CDS by fraud and theft of a prescription blank.
I'd be going to drug and criminal school at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Just hanging out with you.
But I try to if I hear someone talking about some legal kind of shit, because when I was in jail so much, like I would always go to the law library. Because after that Faramani shit, where I felt like the lawyer was like not even like he just I paid all this money, and I got fucking, you know, I didn't feel like he did what he's supposed to do for the money I paid him. But that really like. Not to just to rewind a little bit, like that really was like the pinnacle of my life. Like it fucked my life up. Like I don't know. Pinnacle means the high point of your life. It was the lowest point of my life, whatever.
Right.
So, cause I had like a plan. I was like, all right, I'm gonna come out here. I love cutting hair. I've been doing it for a long time. I'm good. I'm gonna get my barber's license, girlfriend, my cosmetologist license, get this business administration degree or whatever. And I'm going to open it up. I already had most of the money. When that happened, it was over. I had to spend all my money on my lawyer and my commissary. So I came home to basically nothing besides enough money to get a car. And I had to do that a couple times in life where you got to start over from scratch. And it's fucked up. But, you know, that's the choices you make. So you got to deal with your fucking consequences. But, that's like basically. So I got the CI charge. And that's when I went downstate in Jersey. And, like, Jersey's a whole other ball game. Like downstate, upstate PA is bad. Like, there's bad jails, you know what I'm saying? But the county jails around here, they're not that bad. If you go to Philly, CFCF, like, I've been there too. Like, it's crazy, man. It's fucked up. And so the Bordentown is, like, where I went downstate. And it's, like, it's just dumb stuff, man. A lot of fights, a lot of stupid shit, man. Stuff I never want to go back to. So this last time, this is where the drama, bullshit, dumbass, fucking institutionalized life ends, you know what I'm saying? So this last time, it was, like, besides that little overnight I did not too long ago, but besides that, I was fucking, I did 90 days in the hole because they kept moving me around. I didn't like that. Like, every time I would get comfortable, I feel like the COs would be like, oh, no, you're going fucking G-Block. Like, they hated me for some reason. They just didn't want me to be comfortable. Like, once they see I was getting settled in and start gambling and having fun, they're like, all right, you got to get off. I'm moving you here. So he fucking moves me to G-Block, and I told him, I said, bro, if you put me on that block again, bro, I promise, like, I'm gonna fuck one of them rapists up, bro. I don't like that shit. I don't want to be around this shit. I don't want to eat with them dudes. I don't want that. I'd rather someone that fucking killed somebody or sold a bunch of fucking drugs, like, be next to me than someone like that. So I told him that. It's a sergeant, so I'm telling him, he's like, all right, bro, I'll get you off as soon as I can. I can't do nothing right now. It's through the mental health, and mental health made the switch. They made the move, so we can't do nothing. So I go over there, I'm like, all right. I even went to the counselor a bunch of times. I'm like, look, get me off this block. I don't belong here. I'm not PC. I'm not nothing. I look at my charges. I don't belong on these blocks. Why the fuck you have me here? You're not supposed to do this. Like, and it was like the third, fourth day of me talking to the counselor and trying to talk to the sergeants. They didn't move me. There was a dude, and the COs told me too. Because, like, after wrenching, like, some of the COs would be all right with me. They're like, all right, he's all right, dude. He's respectful. He just keeps to himself, for real. And the gambles, like... And fucking, I'm telling them, I'm like, yo, so they tell me this dude, his name was Shaw. He raped a little 3-year-old girl and killed her, bro. They got this dude walking around. Disgusting, bro. Not only that, bro. Then there's another dude. So it just happened. Like, they're telling now, the CEOs are telling me this because they know. I'm telling the CEOs, like, bro, get me off this block. I'm going to fuck one of these dudes up, bro. Get me the fuck out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, get me on a normal block. So... eventually, and then there was another kid. He was younger. He was like probably like maybe 2 years older than me. He raped his, he's in there for the second time for raping his stepsister, bro. Like, I'm like, all right, one of these dudes is getting fucked up. I couldn't get off. I'm like, all right. And it just so happened that day, I go down to the chow hall, the mess hall where you go to eat. And that dude's right behind me, the one that raped his stepsister 2 times. Second time in there for raping her. I don't know why they let him back around her, but he's in there. And I should probably punch on the other dude, Shaw. Because that's a little worse. But it's all fucking... It's no worse or better. It's still just disgusting. It's like the bottom low thing you could do to me. What else is worse than that? Like, what other sin is worse than that? It's horrible. So, the dude's behind me, and I'm walking... keeping to myself walking, and I talked about this apple stuff that my grandma used to make. It was like... they call it the apple crumble, but my grandma used to call it, like, apple coochin. So I was just saying that to myself. I'm like, oh, shit, apple coochin. Like, so I said, and the dude behind me, that was the little rapist dude, he's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? I'm like, what? I didn't say shit to you, bro. I'm not even talking to you, bro. I probably was even nicer. I'm like, I'm not even talking to you, bro. And I walked. I went with my tray, and I was just so mad that he said that to me. I'm thinking about it. I sat down. He sat down next to me. I'm like, I can't eat this food, bro. I gave it to the dude next to me, and I went back to the block. I'm like, when this motherfucker comes back to the block. So I went back on. I went there. I sat right myself. As soon as I seen him walk on with it, he came on the block. He went to the phone. He put the phone down. He didn't call nobody. He went to the cell. So he went to the side. I came on my side. I creeped over the cell. I fucking went in there. And I tried to be nice and quiet about it so I wouldn't get caught, but one of the dudes, like, slammed the door behind me, and I hooked him. Boom! And I only hit him once. His whole shit split open like this, and it just started. And I felt so bad. I felt bad after because, like, he ran to the corner of the cell and was like, no, don't hit me, please. And, like, at that point, I'm like, I went from, like, being so mad to, like, feeling, like, sorry for the dude. Like, he was bleeding and shit, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, please, no, don't hit me. Like, curled up in the corner. So I'm like, bro, why the fuck did you say that to me then, bro? What the fuck? Now I'm going to go to fucking home. What the fuck? I'm like, damn, bro. I'm sorry. All right? I'm sorry. And then they just fucking...
The lesson on empathy, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. They rang the fucking things, man. They came and got me. They put me in a hole. I was in there for fucking 90 days, bro. And then when I was in there, I ended up getting maced 2 times because I tried to hit the CO. Like, they skipped me for a shower one day, and you only get 2 showers a week in the hole, or maybe 3. I forget if it's 2 or 3. I think it's 3. I think it's Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. So it was a Friday shower, and he skipped me. And I'm like, I was so fucking mad. I'm like, all right, bro. And it was a CO. Like, when, they talk shit to you. I'm saying they intimidate you there. Like, they don't. That's what I'm saying. Bucks County, that for that, with the mental health shit and that shit, and the way they like push meds on people, that's a fucked up jail, bro. Like, I'd rather go back to the worst jail in Jersey or the worst jail in PA because I feel more comfortable in that situation than I do in that jail, bro, because them COs fuck you up and harass you. There's a bunch of shit, like them selling, the CO selling some boxes or them doing this shit. And I heard fucked up stories about, like, Mercer County, like, them hanging people in the hole and shit, the COs, like, beating them to death. Like, it's pretty fucked up, man. So I did 90 days in the hole, and I had a lot of time to think, bro. I just sat there and thought, and I'm like, you know, I'm never coming back to jail, bro. I got to do the right thing. Like, this is it for me. And I was fighting a dope case. This is my last case. I actually beat it. I had a lot of drugs coming back from Philly, and I got caught with it. But they did, like, a legal search and seizure, so I ended up... It was illegal what they did. They just, like, stripped me on the side of the road. They ended up taking stuff out of my privates and shit. And I ended up being charged, but I was going back and forth from Philly to here. And I got released straight from the hole because I beat my case in Philly. So I come back on the bus. I go back to the hole. And I'm like, what's going to happen? I'm like, damn, I just beat the case. I'm happy as shit. I'm gonna probably going home. Like, I probably did like 82 days in the hole by myself. I just got maced like 2 weeks ago with 2 cans of mace because I tried to hit the CO with the fucking shower curtain because he skipped me and I was so angry. Like, I don't really think I have anger problems anymore. Like, I really humbled myself. Like, it was like a spiritual awakening, I guess they could say, because I thought a lot in that cell. Like, I didn't have nothing. And I just thought about a lot of shit. I'm like, no, I'm going to come home. I'm going to just do my thing. And, that's basically what happened. I got released straight from the hole to the streets. So I never had that happen before. Like, that was like an uplifting feeling. Like, damn, I just
can't. You didn't transition through like going back to like the regular.
Yeah, I didn't have a rock or nothing. I didn't have
block. Yeah. Sounds like
nothing. So I came from being, like caged up to freedom. And it's like, I was just saying to myself, I say, if there's one reason why I could tell myself I keep going back to jail, because getting released is probably the best feeling you ever have in your life. Like, that's why it's not the best feeling you ever have in your life. But being released from that shit, it's like a good feeling.
Right.
So, and since then, I've been doing good. I did have a slip up, you know, with probation for like dumb stuff. But I'm about to get off on the 22nd. And I'm doing good, man. I got a nice little.
Merry Christmas.
What?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, baby. I'm doing good, finally. I finally made my last mistake. But yeah, man, that sums up my stupid life now. Let's hear a little about you.
You can honestly, I usually do a part here where I say like how important it is for me to have conversations with people that matter to me on the record. So the fact that we're having this conversation on the record and we're just kind of really being pretty vulnerable with each other here.
Yeah.
I wanna kind of give you the chance to ask me anything or say anything that you want to say to me.
We worked together for a long time, but the whole summer basically. So I know a lot about you. I know you're a wrestler. I know you went through a very traumatic situation yourself when you had to get brain surgery, and you came a long way. You love wrestling, and I wish that. You know, you would have elevated. I'm not saying you're not where you need to be, but I wish that you would have elevated even more and been pro wrestler. And I'm not saying you're not a pro wrestler, but like, you know, to WWC or I don't follow wrestling that much. So I know, like, you know, Cold Stone Steve Austin and, you know, The Rock and Mr. from WECW, where ECW was, like the Sandman and the dude with the beard. I don't know.
ECW.
That's what they would say was the real wrestling. Like, I don't know. It's all real though. You're like an incredible athlete, bro. You motivated me to try to get back in the gym and shit. And look at you as a friend, bro. And you know, we never had to really get into any crazy situation in the bar because it was always regulars, but we just talked a lot. We talked about a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Kind of similar, man. Kind of similar, honestly, you know.
I have to tell you something I took. It was like a pretty early on challenge when you were like, I don't really like comedy. I don't really understand comedy. And I was like, yo, I'm gonna bounce jokes off this guy, take it as a challenge to see how many times I can make you laugh. And I was consistently making you laugh, and it was making me very proud of myself.
I know, because honestly, no stand-up really makes me laugh. And I'm like, damn, you had some pretty funny jokes. And I'm like, you should say some. You ever say some? Any of them on your podcast yet?
All the time.
The ones about racism were funny. Like, there's a couple funny ones, bro. And, you know, I kind of like working there, but then, like, it was overwhelming. But you, I feel like we're like kind of night and day, like, when it comes to, like, certain things, but we have a lot of
time, too. Ships passing in the night.
Exactly. Because, like, we have a lot, like, we came up from different ways, but you have, like, sisters that you don't get along with and, like, certain situations that we kind of, like, you know, we're kind of, like, you got some things in common, too. Yeah, I like sports, sure. You know.
Wrestling's a sport. I don't have quite as many tattoos as you.
Yeah.
I do have more hair than you.
Yeah, and I'm jealous, you know.
Up here.
Bro, you know what's messed up? I don't know if I should say this on live air right now, but nah. My hair's getting really thin, bro. I'm starting to get psoriasis, bro.
Okay, yeah, I think I saw it on your elbow, that psoriasis.
Yeah, my elbow, and now I got a spot on my scalp, so.
Moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Plaque psoriasis. Bro, I'm trying, it's the weirdest thing. Like, I never had to get a pre-authorization for, like, anything at the pharmacy. So I get the cream from my doctor to put on it. And the pharmacy's giving me problems. Like, oh, you can't have that because you need a pre-auth. I'm like, why would I need a pre-auth? It's fucking psoriasis cream. It's not like a narcotic or something. Like, what the fuck? I just get my shit. And it was a whole thing. They, like, faxed the doctor a bunch of times. And long story short, I never ended up getting the cream.
Have you tried Gold Bond medicated powder? This episode brought to you by Gold Bond medicated powder. It's good for athlete's foot, jock itch, psoriasis.
Stop playing. I got some over the counter from Walgreens, bro. But I really thought you were serious for a second.
Well, it says that on the commercial, and so
I know. I know you sounded just like them. That's like JG Jumper. I need your money. I need it now. Like.
It's my money, and I want it now.
That was a good impression. Hold on, I feel like I wish. I don't know. Do you do this? Do you have? Is there any of your audience or your guests ever smoke a little bit?
Yeah.
I just want to take a little. I'm not gonna smoke anything. You can if you want to. I'm just gonna take a little sip or something. I feel like
I often think about. There's an Incubus song where the lyrics are, will I ever get to where I'm going? If I do, will I know if I'm there? And yeah. And I think about that all the time. I always think about, like, because you were saying to me a little while ago about not wanting to be where we are, like, may be wanting to be somewhere different than where we are.
Yeah.
But when that happens, I start thinking about how, no matter how bad things get.
Corey, why are you frozen? You've been frozen since you started it back up.
Can you see me?
No, you're still frozen. It doesn't matter. I'm sure it'll be good.
You can hear me, though.
Yeah, I can hear you. So it's good.
I mean, I can still see me, and I can still hear me. Maybe it's just your device.
Oh, yeah, it probably is my setup. It's not as high tech as yours. I'll get there. I don't know.
I have to tell you another thing. Like, what, when it comes to, just, I'm gonna put a button on that real quick. No matter how bad it gets, it's always already been its worst. You know what I mean? Like, I've been through worse than whatever the worst stuff is. Because life can throw some curveballs at you. But sometimes those curveballs are meant to to teach you lessons about yourself and how you'll handle those things. Like, right. So
I got some phrases that would like, I got the one that I like. It's like, when things are bad, hold on because they'll get better. And when things are great, enjoy them because they might not last forever. It might have went the other way around because that probably would have been a better ending. But just like,
You blew it.
I blew it. But it's just something that I like. Yours might be a little more thought out.
I also really like to let you know how important it is, man, that like we're dudes that are there for each other unconditionally.
Yeah. You want to let me know that you're going to miss me at McStew. That's what you really wanted to say?
No, I already do, bro. I already do.
I kind of miss it a little bit too sometimes. Like, it's just like I don't really go out at all. So that was kind of like my little get out. But what were you saying before I cut you off? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, man, I love that, like, and like, please still don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to still call me if you need me or anything like that. Like, I'm still here. I'm still a resource for you. I'm happy to be a resource for you, and I want to help you in any way. So when it comes to, like, us trying to, like, get together with making your show work or any of that kind of stuff, I'm happy to help you.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if when I get, like, you know, I'm just doing little test runs right now because I'm not too, like, you know, I don't know all the technology. Not technology, not that hard, but, like, you know, just, like, certain aspects of it. That's why I'm glad I got to do this with you. And, you know, I believe you can give me some good criticism and some good tips. And you always were there for me, honestly. And it's not like we've known each other for a long time, but you're a good dude. And I believe that we'll both, you know what I'm saying, get to where we want to be. And we're going to be, I just want to be sitting back when I'm like 90 with a couple acres somewhere, even if it's here. Like, I got a couple acres in my backyard, not like one, but if that. But I just want to be sitting back on a rocking chair with my dog and my wife and smoking a little doobie, man. That's it, if I can, man. That's all.
I find myself every once in a while thinking about, there was a line in a movie where the guy was like, "Hey, do you like real estate?" And the guy was like, "Yeah." And then the other guy kicked him in his nuts and he said, "Here, have a couple of acres."
Have a couple of acres. Oh my God.
So anytime anybody talks about acres, I automatically think of that. I forget what movie it's from.
You're basically saying that I might just get kicked in the nuts. I'm not gonna have.
Yeah, that's If here, have a couple of acres.
Oh shit, man! This doesn't really relate too much to what we're talking about, but can you tell me what movie this is from? Why are you worried about something that could kill you in 7 years when there's so many things that could kill you today?
Is this a trivia? Do you know what movie it's from?
Yeah,
or are you telling me to ask you?
It's from because you know I'm not really good at this kind of stuff. You're always the one that knows like the actors and the phrases and everything. Like
Right. Yeah.
My memory is not too good, but that's from our Blood Diamond with
Oh, I never saw that with Leonardo DiCaprio. No, I never saw the movie.
Yeah.
But I remember it coming out.
Yeah. I forget the actor's name. It's he played in Face Off. I forget his name. Not John Travolta, but the other one. And
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I think that's his name. I'm pretty sure. He so he was the king where they were like just like either sold the guns or I'm trying to see. I might be confusing two movies, but anyway, so he's with like the king comes and gets him. He got him like a golden AK-47. So he came back with like two Ethiopian African girls, whatever they were.
Or is that Art of War?
Art of War, maybe no. Is it? I think it was.
Because that's Nicolas Cage and the gold gun.
Selling the guns.
Yeah, that was Art of War.
Art of War. It wasn't Blood Diamond.
No, Blood Diamond was Leonardo DiCaprio. But I never saw that movie. But
How shitty I am at stuff like that. Like, my memory.
But that Art of War movie was pretty sweet. I like that. With Jared Leto and Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. I like that movie with him in it, and the Face Off movie. That those are like two of my favorites with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. He just came up in a conversation with on this podcast. I'm trying to remember what other thing we were talking about. Good Nicolas Cage movies. I thought National Treasure was decent, right?
What?
National Treasure. Those movies were decent.
Oh, yeah, where they go on like the... I didn't really see too much of them. I see like they go on like the scavenger hunts, the treasure hunts.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like an Indiana
Jones. We're going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, it's kind of like a... Yeah. It's kind of like an Indiana Jones thing, but a little more like rugged. But yeah, but not only just with the podcast and linking up and like calling each other, I also started getting back in the gym heavy, man. I've been doing like calisthenics here, trying to get like a little bit of muscle before I get in the gym because I fell off for a while. And
I just started getting like my swing back like pretty well.
Yeah, you were in a little rough.
What's up?
You were in a little rut and stuff.
I was in a little bit of a rut, and I'm just kind of starting to get myself out of it.
Yeah, so, good, man. Because I've been trying.
I'm just going to make sure. What I want to do is I want to make sure, like, through the month, that if there's 30 days in a month or 31 days in a month, I don't want to let all 30 of those days go by where I haven't hit the gym for at least 29 of them.
29 of the 30? Yeah, that's dedication. I would be happy with 20 days out of the 30. But honestly, I've been trying to, like, I don't really mess with no one out here besides other barbers, but, like, I don't really have any, like, I try to motivate my girl, and she always takes it as, I'm got a problem with her body or stuff. Like, I don't. Like, when I met you, you were on a keto diet, you weren't doing the gym, you were doing Pilates classes, and now it's, like, she's not as dedicated anymore, and she's not motivating me, and I'm trying to motivate her. She's taking it the wrong way.
It's a slippery slope there, man.
Yeah, it's like a double-edged sword.
When you're that close-knit with somebody, and like you're like, come on, let's work out, and they're like, what are you trying to say? Just like,
yeah,
I get that.
I don't care, honestly. I wouldn't care if she was 400 pounds. I would still love her to death. Like, I'm just telling you, I want you to be the best of you. I want you to motivate me and make me better. I want you to pull me up when I'm thinking I want to go out and drink or hang out with some dude that I shouldn't be hanging out with because he's probably negative, you know what I'm saying? And he's wasting money at the bar. So I'm like, I went out last night, and it was just stupid. I shouldn't even went out. And we did, like...
So I have one question for you.
Yeah.
I have one question that I don't think you've ever been asked before.
All right.
Where are the diamond earrings from your socks?
The diamond earrings from my socks?
You said from the jewelry store, Bert and Ernie's jewelry store.
Oh, where are they? Oh, I wish I would have kept them, bro, honestly, because I could either wear them, which I probably wouldn't have. They were kind of big. But I actually went and pawned them and got, like, $1,200 and a gold chain with the cross. And I could have probably, and when she seen them, when she like did the little thing, inspected them, she's like, oh my God, where'd you get these? And I'm like, I got them from my grandma. And that was stupid of me, man. But, you know, I was dumb, man. I know why. I don't really can't put my finger on it, but I don't know why I had to make all the mistakes before I actually got the hint. Like there's some people.
Because at the time you didn't think they were mistakes. That's the problem. That's how mistakes happen. Because once you start getting away with stuff, you don't think you're gonna not get away with stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like so living that
life. It gets away from you.
Right.
Like you didn't realize it was a mistake because you were like, oh, I'm paying for this because of somebody else's. This is somebody else's fault that I got caught for the bad thing I was doing.
Right.
And I think that's a pattern any one of us can fall into.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, and you know, you got to take responsibility for that and say, look, I put myself in that situation. But then, like when I was younger, it always be like, no, I didn't put myself in that situation. My father would even put myself in that situation, or my mother doing drugs, or my dad abusing my mom in front of us, and that's why, you know, they split up. And like, and then I getting older and always wondering, like, is that what really happened? Like, is my mom telling the truth? And like, why was she always, you know, putting other men before her kids and drugs before her kids. And then even when she did get clean, she would still put other men before her kids. Like, and then when I first moved out here, I kind of didn't speak on this, but like, she was with this dude for like a long time. They got high together, they got clean together, and he had two kids. So she was like a great mother to his two kids. And even now that they split up and he went and got high and moved back to Jersey and he's still getting high, she's still clean. She has 19 years clean by the grace of God. She's a wonderful mother now. She's
taking care of those kids.
She's very strong. She takes care of the kids. Some she took care of them. I was a little like jealous at times. Like, she took better care of the kids than she ever did me. And she gave them a life that they would have probably never had if she wasn't in their lives. But the one is, I call my stepbrother, my stepsister. Sometimes I'm like a little against it because like Brandy, she had like a very good upbringing eventually. Like, she had struggled, but then like, she's in jail right now in Florida, and he's like, it's her, George, my stepbrother, he's like the total opposite. He does real estate. He worked for the car dealership on Route 1. Now he works for BMW, and like, he's got a good head on his shoulders. And I don't know how it happened, honestly, because he could have went down the wrong path from living in like Sturps, like Marion Village, and like, you know, smoking weed and doing drugs and stuff, and then coming out of it, which was great for him. But I don't really mess with him anymore because he doesn't reach out to me. He doesn't really care to have a relationship. And he's kind of like, I'm not going to say that, but he's kind of like stuck up a little bit and like really shiesty. I was going to say the J word, but I'm like, let me not say that. But
it's got a stigma for sure. But that's not like, I think sometimes we're like, there's people that, They're protecting their own shit, and I'm okay with them protecting their own shit around me if they don't know who I currently am. You know what I mean? Like, if their impression of me is maybe from a younger version of me who was a piece of shit or like a mean jerk. I was mean to a lot of people when I was younger. Like, I wouldn't have been my friend. Like, me now, I wouldn't have been my younger self. I wouldn't be friends with my younger self. I wouldn't have liked me if I was me now.
No, I feel like you're a very likable guy, even when you were younger. I didn't know you back then, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you're a likable guy. The thing with me, I feel like even though like, I was a piece of shit in certain ways, because of the drug dealing and doing it, and like, you know, hurting females, I always took advantage of females growing up, and, you know, I don't know why, because I see my sister get taken advantage of, but I didn't take advantage of them. Let me just say, I would cheat on them, but I didn't take advantage of them. I've always tried to, like, you know, be humble and protect myself. And even though because I grew up with morals, even though, like, all the kids I did grow up with are all scumbags, and they're all, like, I don't talk to none of them no more. They, like, mess with my sisters. They got my house raided. Like, it just, nothing. Once I joined that thing, and, it was all downhill from there. It was just like a stupid mistake. And my two other friends,
it's all like a cycle too. You know what I mean? If there's always a problem, there's always going to be a problem. If there's always a mess, there will always be a mess. Like, there's never really like comfort in hanging around with chaotic people.
There's not. And you know what? I wish, because like there was this group of friends and this group of friends. These two dudes went to the Navy and the Air Force, which I wish I would have gone to service. That's like a regret that I had. I'll probably get rid of that regret one day, but it's the only regret I had. You know, I don't regret anything else. Like, I even though I had a shitty life, but I had fun a lot too. I did a lot of fun stuff too that I thought was super fun, and someone else might not think it was fun, but I did.
Can we eliminate that regret real quick? Can we try to eliminate it? What would it take for you to eliminate that regret?
Yeah, but it's like, I know it could have fucked me up in the head. I might have been dead. Who knows? But
think about it, man. If that happened, you would be a completely different person. Or if that had happened and they kicked you out because you were a discipline problem, they kicked you out because you're a hothead. If you didn't want to, because you know they would be in your face. You know that they'd be disrespecting you more than the CEOs did.
Yeah.
But so, like, you wouldn't have been ready for it.
Yeah, it would have been a younger age. I don't know. I feel like I would have did good because I probably would have had that structure at a younger age.
You mean discipline. You lack discipline for sure.
I knew, but I feel like I would have known that I was doing something righteous and something good for my country.
Right. They would have beat that into you. You would have absolutely changed the projection of your life.
My way of thinking, yeah, and I would have more structure, and that would have made me like the two dudes that this Marcus and this kid Jesse, they're both like set right now. The one does, he's about to, I think he retired already, but he was doing underwater welding after he got out. He did like 8 years. The other kid did like, I don't know, I think he did two sections or whatever it is, of 8 years too, or like maybe 12. But he's set right now. Like, they're just both set. And then my other two boys from that group of friends are both passed away. They got on the drugs.
Are you trying to say, like, deployments?
Like, you know, because there's, like, four times every time, like, before you, like, you retire. But that's not, like, it's not like it would have been an easy life. Like, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I'm just glad we got to do this, man. And I don't know.
I just got a few more things for you, and then I'll send you off into the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake.
All right. That's all I need to hear. What time is it?
It's 4:40 at this very moment.
This is perfect because this is a long episode, but I gotta pick up my girl at 4:30, so this is like we did perfect timing.
All right. So,
what you got for me?
What's something that you've never been asked that you've wanted to be asked?
What's something that I've never been asked, but I've always wanted to be asked? Why are you always the most loyal person in the room?
You've always wanted to be asked that, huh?
No, I don't know. I can't think of nothing, but I'm trying to think of one more thing that maybe I want to be asked. Why is your dick so big? And I was like...
You've wanted to be asked that. What's up?
What's your answer, though? What's the one thing you wanted to be asked that you've never been asked? Why are you such a good wrestler?
I've always wanted to be asked, will you take this life-changing role in life? This is going to be life-changing for you. Are you willing to accept that? I want to be asked that, yes, for sure.
Like winning the lottery? Do you accept this?
Right. Adjacent to that. Yes, exactly. That sort of thing. That sort of like major win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just that. Like, I remember I was watching Jerry Springer once. And this will come back in a second. I was watching Jerry Springer once with my grandmother. And and the guy got told, "You are not the father." And that dude did backflips and he was jumping up and down, and I remember saying to my grandmother in that moment, I said to her, "I want something that makes me that happy to happen to me." Yeah. And then, and she laughed her ass off. Like she laughed her ass.
That's good.
And I had that moment for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I don't even remember my grandma laughing. I don't remember too much. All I remember from my grandma is her. She used to cut my peanut butter and jelly up in triangles instead of like a half. So it'd be like
a little pizza?
Yeah, like a little
pizza. Peanut butter jelly pizza.
Yeah, I didn't have much of like grandparents and grandpas. When my dad was done, I didn't know no one on his side. My mom had my grandma, so I only had my grandma and mom. But my grandma's mom had like you know, the dudes were never around. It was like, you know, whatever. But I wanted to ask you something. Damn, what was I just gonna say? It just came to my head. I hate when that happens because it was something.
I'm gonna jump back to the Jerry Springer backflip.
Yeah, come back in my head.
She was on hospice when she was getting older. At that point, she was on hospice and my grandmother, my nanny, had like a week left to live, and I got a phone call. That offered me to come wrestle for the WWE from somebody who was like a producer at WWE. And they said I had to be there. And she was in hospice and I was only spending her final days with her. And I turned down the phone call. I told him I couldn't do it because I had to be with my nanny. And then I went back to her and I told her the story. I said, I finally got something that could make me backflip. Wow. I finally got something that could make me backflip. I got a phone call that could make me backflip, but I turned that down to be with you. Like I don't want that as a guilt thing, but I was just wanting to like,
She's probably super happy, but I was thinking that
being with her in those days was like my favorite.
I meant more to you. That's your grandma. Like, I wish like my grandma when she passed away, she was in Florida. But like, that's what I when you first said that, I'm like, wow. So now she's gonna have a little bit of guilt because of that, but she couldn't.
Oh yeah, that wasn't the intention in any way. I was just happy to be with her
Absolutely, as you should have been, man.
I remember, dude. Like just the next day. She like passed like just the day after that, and I got to be there, and not as it happened. I didn't watch it happen, but like I was in the house, and
she got to be by her side in her presence
her last words were "I love you," right to me, like, and
that meant a lot to me. That meant more than the ECW.
Yeah, I can't, like, I could never take that back.
I know. Yeah. That's like, I don't feel like I have any stories like that. Like, most of mine are sad endings, bro. Like, when my boy died, I was incarcerated. And when his mother died, because his mother was like my mother kind of growing up. My boy was named Roger, and when his mother died, I was in that juvenile placement center, and I was in the program or whatever in Marlboro, New Jersey, so I didn't get to say goodbye to his mom, and then my boy Kevin killed him, so I didn't get to go to his funeral, and then my dad, when he passed away, I didn't want to go see him, but now, like, maybe I should have, because, you know, I don't know what he went through, why he did that, why he would desert his family. Like, and it just made me a better man because I would never be a bad father ever in my life. Like, I've been a father to a kid that's not mine before that, just because I know how important it is to have a father role model in your life. But so my sister Rachel, my sister Jessica, my youngest sister and my oldest sister, they went to Florida to go see him when he was on his deathbed. And in the back of my head, I'm like, Jessica only wants to see if she can get some money or something, you know what I'm saying? But whatever. So me and Liz, I think we, like, took it the hardest with everything that happened. I don't know. Maybe Rachel kind of got it bad, too. But so we didn't go. We were like, fuck that. We're not going. We don't want to see him. Let him fucking die. And
we're not going to hear the end of that story. Your audio cut out there for a sec.
Oh, all right. It's all right. I think that's worry over the time limit. Like, how long do you usually do your drawings?
There's no limit, man. But I know you got to run. So I'm gonna say real quick. We're gonna wrap it up. I'm gonna do if you can. I wrap up every show. Hypothetically, I've gifted you this show. This is your first episode of your brand new show. Evolving with Dave Rowe. In your pilot episode, a very Jerry Springer's final thought type thing, take the most valuable takeaways from this conversation and present them to people that's going to help them evolve to be a better version of themselves.
Are you asking me what I think they were?
Whatever the biggest takeaway for the people listening, for your audience of your show, Evolving with Dave Rowe. I lost audio again.
You can't hear me?
I can hear you right now.
Dom was calling. So basically, I just feel like a lesson you can learn, something to take from this is no matter what happens in life, if you're not dead, you could always bounce back. Like, there's always a minor setback for a major comeback. So like, don't not have faith and think that you could be a better person and give up. You never want to give up. Like, a man doesn't give up, and he takes care of his things. Like, you overcome, you know, a lot of things stuff with your, you know, when you had to get the surgery and you still aren't able to wrestle today. That's beautiful, you know. And you're living your life, you want, you know, your dream. And I'm trying to open this barbershop, man. Anybody listening, if you're in the area, HD Cuts, man, look me up. And I just want one thing. Are you, you got anything else to say?
No, man, I don't want. I think you're over the time when you had to go pick up your girl, so I don't want
you to. Yeah, the host is the most. I just want to take. Can you take a screenshot?
Oh, got it.
Nah, this shit. All right, bro. Look, I'm going to. You cut it, right?
Your drum is frozen. Okay, I'm just going to say this is your first time checking out the show. Go ahead and hit that subscribe and like button and comment. And if you exist, let me know you exist. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Be fun. Have safe. Keep it up.
What's your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Billy Madison.